Have you ever noticed that when you look at a clock and your eye first sees the second hand, the hand seems to hesitate for a moment before it picks up a steady rhythm? Well, Keelan Yarrow noticed. He's a researcher at the Institute of Neurology in London, England. But just noticing the puzzling phenomenon wasn't enough for Mr. Yarrow, so he set out to figure out what causes the illusion of time standing still. Now he thinks he's got the answer. Mr. Yarrow, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thanks very much.
First of all, can you just describe the phenomena that you set out to explain? Maybe you can describe it better than I did.
I think you did a very good job, actually. Yeah, it's an illusion which quite a lot of people have noticed and commented on, where you're looking maybe at a second hand on your watch or at a clock in a train station which has got one of those digital second hand tickings away. You glance up and it seems as if the clock stopped there just for a moment. But after a moment, it carries on going at a normal pace. It's a slightly odd sensation.
So what's going on?
Well, our interpretation of what's going on is that, in fact, when your eyes arrive at the second hand or whatever it is that's counting the passage of time, your brain is making an assumption. It's assuming that whatever it sees has remained constant right over the period of the saccade, which is the eye movement which led you to get there, as it were. So when you're saccading around the world, making these eye movements, you can't actually see very much. There's a lot of kind of suppression of visual input. And what the brain seems to be doing is smoothing over these blank periods, filling them in.
So what's the brain actually doing to create the illusion?
We think it's backfilling, so it's getting to the second hand, and it's taking those kind of that tenth of a second period where it didn't see what was going on, and it's filling in that period with a perception of the second hand when it finally gets there. So the immediate past is kind of being reconstructed just to make sense of things, to make things seem continuous.
So does that mean that the longer my saccade, or that this sweeping motion, the longer that illusion will seem to be?
Yeah, that's right. We carried out an experiment where we had our subjects make saccades of two different sizes, one kind of extremely large saccade and one which was reasonably large but not as large. And what we found was that the size of the illusion is actually linked very directly to the size of the saccade. So you get a kind of millisecond for millisecond extension of the illusion when your saccade is a longer one.
But I'm still trying to figure out if the second hand doesn't actually pause, but I see it as pausing, then what are my eyes doing at that time? Like, when is that happening? Is it happening while I'm sweeping or just after I do the sweep? When is the illusion actually taking place?
Well, that's an interesting question. We don't have a very good handle on the exact time course of this. Presumably sometime just after you get there and this your new perception becomes available. What the illusion is going on at that point. So at that point, the brain is reconstructing the immediate past for you, and then you're getting the sensation that that's how you really experienced it. So we're probably talking in the kind of 100 milliseconds or so after your eyes arrive at a point that this process is going on. But at the moment, we're kind of looking at ways of trying to get a better handle on that, maybe using some kind of imaging.
Well, how did you figure all this out in the first place? What kind of experiments do you do?
Okay, so to describe the basic setup, we have across to one side of a computer screen. On the other side of the computer screen is a digital counter, so it's kind of like the second hand on a digital clock. And initially that's set to zero. Then the participant in the experiment focuses on the cross, and when they're ready, they make an eye movement from there right across to the zero. Now the computer picks up that eye movement and uses it to trigger the counter, so it changes it to a one. So when the participant's eyes arrive at the counter, they see a one. They don't notice that there's been any change there. Then the one remains on screen for a kind of variable duration, so between maybe half a second and a half. And then it changes to a two, and from that point it continues to count like a normal digital second hand, so it'll go three, four, and these will be 1 second gaps. And the participant's task then is to say whether the one was on the screen for less time or more time than the subsequent digits. So they're trying to match the time they see the one to the time they see the two and the three. What the computer does is it adjusts the time the one is on screen depending on how they're responding until it homes in on the time they're actually matching to 1 second.
So what did you find out?
Well, broadly speaking, they're matching less than a second to a second when they're making a saccade first. So when it's a movement preceding this counting task, they're matching maybe 850 milliseconds to a second, which suggests that time for them is being stretched out. Their subjective experience of that 800 milliseconds is as if it were a second.
Is there any other context where this happens other than just looking at the hands of a digital clock?
Yeah, the research we've done to date has been pretty much concentrating on the eye movements and the clock or a visual stimulus. But in fact, there's a good example which again lots of people notice, where sometimes if you have a telephone in your hand and it's got a engaged tone or some kind of continuous repetitive kind of tone going on, if you take it away from your ear, maybe to chat to someone, and then bring it back again during one of the silent intervals, then you suddenly get the impression that maybe it's been put down at the other end or something's gone wrong, because it seems as if the repetitive bleeping has stopped and then it kicks in again. So you have exactly the same kind of experience of a stopping of what's been going on. And in that case, you've got an arm movement rather than an eye movement, so you're bringing the telephone up to your ear, and you've got an auditory stimulus rather than a visual one, in that it's a bleeping.
I'm wondering about the other senses, whether we have delays that happen with touch or you know, some of our other senses as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really interesting question. In the paper, we've made a kind of very loose link to space constancy, which is a system whereby the brain manages to kind of keep a track of where things are in the world, despite the fact that we're constantly moving and our eyes are constantly moving. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that relates to some of the other senses. It's kind of reasonably easy to extend that to hearing, but as far as touch goes, it's a little bit more complex. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the illusion there, whether it still works in the same way.
What about other visual illusions other than the clock one?
Well, I've had some interesting suggestions about what might be going on from some of the journalists I've talked to. In fact, there was a Brazilian journalist who got in contact with me to suggest that maybe this was responsible for why linesmen sometimes got the offside rule wrong in soccer, which I thought was quite a clever suggestion.
How would it work there?
The idea would be the linesman's watching the game, and with the offside rule, if the attacking team make a pass up the field to one of their players, that player has to be in line with or behind the last one of the opposing team's defenders. So the linesman is usually running along the side of the pitch to kind of keep tabs on that. The idea would be he's watching the play. So one of the attacking players passes the ball. At that point, he moves his eyes to the forward attacking player who's being passed to. But because of the illusion, his sensation is that wherever he sees the attacking player now, he's been there just for a few more hundred milliseconds than he really has. So he can kind of get pushed back, if you like, behind the line of defenders. From where he actually is.
That's when you need to call in the video shot.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Mr. Yarrow, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much.
Keelan Yarrow is a researcher at the Institute of Neurology in London, England.